Hello, this is Anahata with 7 tools to improve your relationships. And learning how to love is really worth it. We are all in relationships, whether it's a family relationship, whether it's relationships with our partners, children, parents, siblings, in-laws, in business, and friends, and your unhealthy relationships are going to cause difficulties in your life, and where you're being unhealthy in your relationship is going to affect your joy. And so the health of your relationship really matters. So thanks for taking the time to explore these 7 tools to really improve any relationships, the challenging ones as well as the ones that are already pretty amazing. So, if you're feeling frustrated or depleted or angry or irritated or misunderstood or not respected in different relationships in your life, this is really going to help you out. These few little tips are going to give you some specific techniques and practices and exercise to try in the most challenging relationships as well as the ones that are, you know, really near and dear to you that you want to be lasting, deep, soulful relationships. So learning and practicing and implementing these tools is going to make a difference for sure. And just to be clear, you are focusing on improving your part of the relationship. Just because you're listening to this recording or you are looking at these tips, then you are choosing to be better in relationships. You are choosing to be a better lover, friend, daughter, mother, son, whatever. You are choosing to improve your part of being in healthy relationships, and that doesn't necessarily mean that the other person is going to change a bit. So I just want to make that clear. You are improving your relationship health and what you are bringing to the table, and you're clearing out the debris that you tend to bring relationships, even if it's unconsciously. We're going to bring some light to that. And this will improve your peace and your understanding and compassion in all relationship dynamics. And, you know, when you're accountable for your choices, this gives you the opportunity to really leave flowers in your relationships instead of footprints, really leaving an imprint that is joyful and beautiful in the heart space of everyone you interact with. And so this is these are simple little tips, but I recommend that you set aside the time and space so that you can have quiet time to sit with this material and, you know, turn off distractions. Grab a pen and paper because there are going to be exercises and you'll want to write each one of these tips down. And the deeper you take each of these exercises, you know, is up to you. The more benefit you'll get out of them, the more you practice them. And, oh, by the way, you will be tested on this material. Just to let you know in advance, your loved ones, your friends, your families, your coworkers, they're going to test your ability to practice these 7 tips. And I just want to let you know in advance that when you least expect it, one of these relationships in your life will test the application of what we're going through. So let's begin. Our first tool or tip, number one, is to accept others where they are. So if in your relationships you're experiencing a lot of judgment or control or frustration with the choices of others and feeling like everything is a struggle and that you can't quite seem to make it work, accept others where they are. And this is really going to help you to simplify things in your relationships. It's going to help you be more authentic. It's going to help you get out of other people's business where you don't belong. There's going to be less control and manipulation and tension in your relationships when you just allow. There's more space for people to make mistakes and get themselves back up again and give them some breathing room to find their way. So here's how we work with accepting others really where they are. allow the other person to make their own choices. Doesn't mean you agree with what they're doing. It doesn't mean you would do it that way. But you're not imposing your will or your judgment or your resentment. You give them some space to see it in their own way. Give them some space to trip over things and figure it out. Give them some space to have a blind spot that maybe they keep stumbling over, but it gives them the allowing of them to be on their own journey and to find it in their own way and in their own time. They're different than you. Of course they're going to do it differently. And of course they are on their own path. And so this kind of gives some sovereignty and some space between you and your coworkers or you and your family members, because you're not the same. You don't see things the same. And so if you can stop imposing your perspective and give them the space to kind of see it their own way and accept them where they are, this makes a big difference. So, you know, when you hold this perspective that they should know better, that they should make a different choice, that they should stop repeating this pattern, it holds resentment in your energy, and your heart closes when you hold this expectation that they have to fix this, they have to change it, and it's a judgment that is being felt by them. And even if you're not saying anything, your judgment of them can really be a powerful feeling for them to be receiving. So, yes, you know, we all make mistakes. We all have blind spots. And this gives people the space to allow them to have their own perspectives, their own timing, and make their own path. Because they're their own individual. So here's an exercise that you can work on to help you practice this in your life. So grab a piece of paper and a pen and write down these questions or these statements. So when you're engaging with someone, start to practice pausing before you say something or do something. Just pause. And is what I'm about to say or do empowering? Is it inspiring? Is it encouraging the other person? And if it isn't, maybe don't say it. Maybe what you're about to say is to make them feel even worse than they already feel, to kind of rub their nose in it. I told you so. Blame and guilt and shame doesn't help anybody turn it around any quicker. It makes it worse. And so by allowing them to be where they are and asking, am I contributing in a positive way, empowering, inspiring, encouraging this other person? Am I giving them the space to make their own choices and experience the consequences? And, you know, how can my actions actually serve this person? Maybe the best thing to do is to back up and get out of their business and not say anything. Maybe it is to step forward and encourage them. You can do it. You're almost there. You're so close. And if you can't really say something that is going to work in a positive way for this person, then the most appropriate action is nothing at all, is to just back up, and maybe silence is the right response. And if you want to go deeper with any of these tools, if you're really having a tough situation, you're really having a challenge with a particular experience or person, and say, well, what about this? I'm having trouble getting out of their business because it's my son and he's having issues with drugs, or it's my partner and they're spending too much money. You know, if you're having a real challenge with a coworker or something like that, and you're having trouble with this or any of these tips, please just give me a call and we'll set up a consultation so we can walk through the deeper issues that may be working in this space. And we'll really take a look at how to bring harmony to the situation, healing and consciousness. So just tip number one, you know, just allow them, accepting others just right where they are. Okay, so tool number two, Maintain clear boundaries. This is so important. If you're feeling depleted and resentful and kind of frustrated and not really respected or not good enough, if you feel drained after you've been in an interaction with another, or you feel like people are sucking your energy, then this section on maintaining clear boundaries is going to be very helpful. It's going to help you stay more centered, more empowered, more confident, and have less chaos and drama when you're dealing with others' issues and getting out of other people's business and trying to solve what isn't even yours. And it will give you more time to deal with your own life and your own choices in appropriate ways, and helps you to really honor your own feelings and perspectives and passions and choices. So here's some approaches about how to maintain clear boundaries. First of all, release what does not belong to you. And I mean other people's stuff, their worries, their financial troubles, their relationship troubles, their dramas and their traumas and their fears and their judgments and their anxiety actually doesn't belong to you. It doesn't mean you stop caring about people in your life, but you don't hold their problems as if they are yours. That just clogs up your energy. We still want to have our heart open for compassion for what they're going through. Absolutely, giving a helping hand to somebody, you know, who is in need. But holding the density in your body as if it's yours doesn't make it any lighter for them or for you when you're worrying about people or trying to fix their problems for you. And you can't even fix their problems for them. They're actually the only one that can heal or resolve their own issues in a way that they can continue to learn how to get out of a jam is if they learn how to do it on their own. And when you're holding the burden and the weight of something that you don't really have the ability to change, it just weights you down and it doesn't allow them the opportunity to practice getting out of that situation. And a lot of times people feel that this is what love does. Well, because I love them, I have to worry about them or I have to fix that. Actually, that's not true. You can hold a space of compassion with absolute love and not worry about them. And, have some faith that they'll figure it out. And, you know, be supportive in a way that's helpful, but not holding their dramas and their traumas as your own. And don't take on, you know, really what isn't yours. Just because someone else is experiencing something dense doesn't mean you have to hold it. And, this is being in other people's business a little too much, you know, inappropriately. Get out of other people's business and, hold a neutral space when a friend or a loved one is, or a coworker is going through chaos. Just hold a neutral space. And I don't mean uncaring. I mean really just without a lot of emotion and drama. Just allow, witness where they are and honor yourself in the process and honor your own perspectives and your own points of view. Even if others don't understand it or see it or view it, honor your own boundaries, honor your own truth, even if it doesn't make sense or somebody else thinks that that's untrue or chaotic or it doesn't feel right to them. You can still honor yourself in that place. And here's a helpful exercise here to help put this in practice in your life. And, have you been giving to others at the expense of yourself? Meaning, really, is giving your love depleting you? So if that's the case, if there's a big yes to that, then something's not clear about boundaries. You need to give some more love and support and nourishment to yourself so that you can be giving from a place of fullness rather than emptiness, and giving from a place of authenticity rather than out of guilt or shame or obligation. Because when you feel heavy or drained after an interaction, you've either taken on what doesn't belong to you, or you've been given giving in a way that isn't appropriate. You've been giving out of balance. You've been giving when you are depleted, and that's not the right time or the right way to give. Or you're giving to try to get some kind of attention or validation. Honor yourself and respect yourself. And if you haven't had clear boundaries, you'll feel drained after experiences, after a girlfriend unloads on the phone with you, or a coworker comes in a tirade. So you'll know when you are having good, clear boundaries, when you authentically want to give and you're not feeling drained afterwards. And you're engaging from a place of fullness rather than emptiness or out of guilt or obligation, and it's of joy that you want to give. And you're not giving in a way that is enabling somebody else, and you're giving them the space to and you're not holding the problem to fix it. You're giving them the space to feel it and to fix it. Okay, fantastic. Moving on to number three, tool number three, be compassionate with yourself and others. You know, if you're experiencing irritation, if you're experiencing frustration or judgment or pity between you and another, this creates big walls of separation between you and your loved ones or coworkers. And, you know, this step, this tool is going to help bring compassion into the space. It helps break down the walls, at least the ones that are on your side. And that doesn't mean the walls will come down from the other person. But it accepts that we're all kind of human, you know, and that we make trips, and we just have compassion for some of the pain and suffering that is created by our choices. Any relationship, all relationships can benefit from bringing more compassion into the space. And here's how. Compassion is neutral, meaning it doesn't have an emotional charge to it. It doesn't have any judgment. It means that you are just witnessing what someone is feeling. You're witnessing what they're saying without having to react in an emotional way with judgment or anger or irritation. And, you know, we can get stuck in judgment versus compassion. We can stuck, they should change, they should this, they should that, instead of just allowing them to be where they are and giving them compassion and opening your heart rather than closing it off. And, you know, people might need another speeding ticket or another divorce or be fired from their job. They may have to go through some of those trials and or a physical accident or something like that. They may need to go through that. That may be part of their soul's journey. And just have compassion sometimes to what the choices sometimes that we're making and the chaos and the drama and the suffering that sometimes we create for ourselves. And you may be called to step in and support in different ways. It doesn't mean we stop helping people out by any means. We're fully present with our heart open, and we just have compassion that they may figure it out in their own way, in their own time. And we acknowledge their humanness, their blind spots, their forgetfulness, and we acknowledge ours too. We trip up. We fall. We forget. Sometimes we have the best intentions and we leave a mess. And so this is also very important to have compassion for ourselves in those ways we are consciously or unconsciously doing harm to ourselves and others. And that we don't always, recognizing we don't always leave the space better than we found it. And that is often the case with other people too. And they may be conscious or unconscious of their behavior. And so even with the best intentions, we all fall, and in doing so, it helps us learn how to be more aware of our steps. It helps us learn to pay attention to where we're walking, and in our humanness, we can have a little laugh with sometimes the silly choices that we make and repeat at different times, and so keep your heart open and just ease up. We're all just kind of figuring this out here. We don't all have all the answers all the time. And so give some space. And here is an exercise that you can practice. And keep your heart open in every situation. You'll know that judgment is present as soon as you begin to have an emotional charge or a judgment. This is wrong, this is bad, they should change, I don't like it. As soon as you enter into those places, you're closing down the doorways of your heart and you're anchoring into a place of judgment and emotional energy. So you're no longer in the compassionate heart. So I invite you to look at different situations that close your heart. And where there is pity or judgment or worry or anger around other people's choices. And even though you don't agree with what somebody else is doing, or the choices that they're making, give some practice to just coming back into the compassionate heart. And when you are triggered by a situation, back up. Drop into the heart, get back into a central place, and just bring compassion into the space. That may be some encouraging words, that may be to just back up, that may be just to recognize their humanness or your own. And this is for you and for others. Compassion is a very, very important tool to keep practicing. And it'll be easier in different situations. So as you practice this, you'll see which situations you tend to get triggered more with, and that's your opportunity for growth. Okay, on to tool number 4. Take care of yourself. This is so important because if you're experiencing life out of balance physically, emotionally, financially, in any of your relationships, and you're feeling like somebody else is to blame, anything that there are problems that keep repeating, then somewhere in there you're not taking care of yourself, or you're not taking responsibility and accountability for what is yours. So taking care of yourself, this tool is going to help you be more in balance in your life. And it's going to help you personally be more happy and joyful, which is going to improve your relationships, because then you're not bringing density, imbalance, emotional chaos into your relationships. And you create a more balanced, healthy, sustainable life with freedom and joy for yourself, regardless of what other people are choosing for themselves. This helps you. Taking care of yourself will help you learn how to keep bringing yourself back to center when you face challenges in life. And then you're able to bring more beauty and grace into your relationships. So here's how. Take responsibility for yourself. Stop leaning on others inappropriately for your own physical health, emotional health, financial health, and spiritual health. These are your responsibility. And if something is out of balance here, physically, nutrition-wise, health-wise, if there's some density in the physical body, if there's some pain in the physical body, if there's some imbalance in how much you're moving and resting, if there's not enough playtime, then make it a priority to listen to the body's signals. This is your body. Nobody else has the lease on this temple but you. So take ownership of this vehicle and listen to what your body needs and take the actions to bring it back into harmony. Nobody else can do that for you. Listen to your emotional health. If there's something out of balance in your emotional health, listen to your feelings. What are they telling you? If some aspect of your fiscal health, your finances, if you are in massive debt, if you're spending more than you're making, something's out of balance there, listen to that, feel that, and stop leaning on credit cards and stop leaning on others inappropriately to keep bailing you out. If you're having financial challenges, look at the equation and take action to bring it back into harmony. Same with your spiritual self, your spiritual health. This is between you and the divine. Nobody else can have that connection but you. So make your life a priority, your career, your job. If it's not working for you, stop blaming your boss, stop blaming the economy, and start making some changes. If you need to learn something new or shift into a different career, then do it. And this is really taking responsibility for your life and all aspects of it. And, you know, stop leaning or blaming anybody else if something's out of balance here. And this is essential when you're wanting to give love and be loving in your other relationships, because if you're depleted or you're having some physical disease or trauma or emotionally all over the place and ungrounded financially, disconnected from spirit, well, then you're bringing that energy into every one of your relationships. So this is one of the best things that you can do to improve the health of your relationships and is improve your own health, your own life in all ways. Feel into what needs attention or what's out of balance, what needs nourishing, and fix it. Bring it back into balance. So the exercise here is really to listen. Listen and review all of these aspects of your life. How do I feel? What do I need physically? What's out of balance? Do I need to cleanse? Do I need to move? Do I need to rest? Do I need to heal a particular part of my body? Do I need, and then take action. What do I need to do with my emotional health, financial health? So this is your opportunity to really sit down and take accountability. Is there anything out of balance? Anything that you need to take action for to bring it back into harmony? And anything that you need to move out of your life? Anything, chapters that are closing? Anything that is finished? Then let it go. And is there anything that you need to begin to start training or a new health program? Is there something new that you need to learn? Is there a cleanse you need to take? And so this exercise is really important, and to be doing this consistently each morning. What do I need to do to bring all aspects of my life into greater harmony? So, very good. And that's going to make such a difference in your relationships when you come with more balanced in all areas of your life. Then you're able to come more balanced and whole into your relationships, and you're not bringing chaos or drama into those places. And it really is a joy to bring your energy, your enthusiasm, your joy, your health, your vibrancy all the way into your relationships. Okay. Tool number 5 is practicing clear communication. So if in your relationship there's a lot of conflict and drama and arguments and harmful things said and done, whether that's in the office, in the family room, at holiday gatherings, or with friends, and you get easily triggered, there's definitely some bridges burned between you and other people, and some people you just avoid altogether or have cut them out of your life, or so you think. Then practicing clear communication is going to help you to bring better clarity into your relationship. It's going to help you to resolve conflict with more ease and grace and without harmful, forceful energy. So here's how we approach clear communication. There's two main pieces right now that we're going to focus on, and one is have clear agreements. So where there is ambiguity, things are unclear. Whether it's a business relationship or a personal relationship, whether it's a partnership or a friendship, What is the clear agreement? Are you in a monogamous relationship? What is the curfew? Who's paying this bill if it's professional? What is the compensation? Is it compensated? When are reviews? What are the hours? Where is the vacation time? Because if we don't put this clear, then there are assumptions. And we just assume that we're getting paid. We just assume we're in a monogamous relationship. We just assume what our curfew is or what the other person is thinking or feeling. And that's where so many problems we create in our relationships, because we haven't had the courage or just the awareness to get clear about it up front. So many people don't want to cause conflict or say something that might be embarrassed. But believe me, it's better to bring it up front and get it clear than to think you're in a monogamous relationship and then find out you're in an open relationship that you may not have signed up for. But if had you been clear, you would have known in advance. I thought this was a paid position. Did you ask? So we stop blaming other people for ambiguity and we start taking ownership for having clear agreements in all areas. And, you know, what happens if the agreement isn't met? What are the consequences? What are each other's responsibilities? And with clear agreements, over time, we need to revisit them every once in a while. Is it time for a shift? Do we need to make an adjustment and a revision? And so it's important also to revisit and update clear agreements. How is this working for you? Do we need to revise anything? So the second big piece after having clear agreements is just calm, centered communication. Between any two people, there's always going to be disagreements. There's always going to be misunderstandings at different times. Even the people that get along the most won't always see eye to eye or agree about how to resolve a particular situation or what decision feels aligned. And so the highest resolution is not going to come from a place of agitated, angry, blaming communication. So we have to learn how to calmly express how we feel without using a tense blaming tone or an angry emotional energy or blame statements. And so that often just makes it worse when we are trying to resolve something and we're too emotionally charged. And so if that's the case and you're not in a position to be calm or clear, then back away until you are. You communicate with the other person, I'd love to revisit this when we're both more clear and calm so that we can come to a better resolution. And I need to take a break right now to just get myself centered. And I'd like to revisit this when I'm more calm. That is a better approach than continuing to engage and when you're irritated or impatient or the other person is, and then you start throwing daggers and being hurtful. And you aren't going to come to any resolution like that. So keep your cool. And if you can't, step away and also be accountable. And be calm. And so state very clearly in I statements, I feel, rather than you statements. You statements tend to be more denotes blame. You didn't take out the trash. You didn't pay the bill, rather than, oh, I misunderstood, or I feel there's not a clear understanding here. So I feel, or more I statements will kind of keep that from being blame-oriented. And so here's an exercise to work with. This acronym helps me out. THINK, THINK. So write that down on your paper on the left-hand side, THINK. And before you in a situation that needs, where you want to bring clear, calm communication, think first, T-H-I-N-K, is what I'm about to say true? So that's the T. Is what I'm about to say helpful? That's the H. Is what I'm about to say inspiring to the other person? And that's the I. Is what I'm about to say or do necessary? And that's the N. So sometimes we don't even need to say anything at all or do anything at all. We just need to listen and just let the other person express themselves. A lot of times we may not need to say or do anything, but just give them space. And the last, is it K, kind? And so think before you speak. And if it isn't those things, then most likely it doesn't belong in the space. Most likely it's what you need to feel or hear and need to breathe through being charged or emotionally energized before you actually come into a space of calm, clear negotiation to bring about a resolution. If you're still angry, that's not the time to negotiate. You know, if you're still blaming them, then that's not the time to negotiate. So cool off. And that doesn't mean that you agree with what the other person has said or done, but that you just keep calm and clear and allow them to express what they need to. And think before you speak or act so that you can leave the space more whole. And a lot of times what you're saying inside is you're the most important person to actually hear, that really needs to hear what it is that you're feeling. So you are often the most important audience for that. And someone has to make the first change. If this is between you and another, who's more likely to make the change? You're the one that is listening or reading this material, so you get to practice it first. And that doesn't mean the other person is going to change, but by you making the change to initiate clear agreements and to eliminate where any ambiguity is in any area of your life, and this is another good exercise to just say, well, are there any places in which I'm not being clear, where there is some unclarity in my professional or personal life that I need to kind of clarify with somebody? Do I need to put some clear agreements out on paper? Even if you have been working without clear agreements for many weeks, months, or years, go ahead and start now. Say, hey, you know what? I think it would be wise for us to set this in place so that there's a clear understanding and there's no misunderstandings. Okay, so let's move on to tool number 6. Take accountability for your actions. If you're experiencing a lot of blame, grudges, you're caught in the past with old patterns, then it's likely you're not taking full accountability for your actions. Now, this doesn't mean that you're absolving somebody else from their actions and their what they are accountable for. You can't. You know, this is more about you can only take accountability for what you do. So stop blaming the other person. Stop holding the energy in the past. And by really taking an accountability for your own actions, it's going to help clear the energy between you and other people, and it's going to help your relationship to be lived more in the present rather than in the past, and with clarity rather than the cloudedness of what has happened. The exercise, you know, the action here is to really become more aware and accountable for your own choices. Even however you react to another person, that is your responsibility. Your response is your responsibility. Doesn't matter what they did. How you respond is what you do. And this increases your awareness to leave the space between you and another person better than you found it, clearer than you found it. And this helps you manage and maintain a clearer space between you and others. And if you have left a mess, if you have been hurtful to somebody, whether it was 10 minutes ago or 10 years ago, if you have left a mess somewhere in a relationship, you know, take accountability for that, the words and the actions that you have created, even if it was a response out of somebody else's behavior. That is energy you created. And own it immediately. I'm sorry. Clean it up. You know, just take accountability. I didn't mean to. You deserve better. And this isn't because you this, I that. This is I choose to do better here, and I'm working on it. So it takes accountability for what you have done. It doesn't deny that, but it also takes accountability for, and this is where I'm trying to do better, and this is where I'm practicing, and, you know, I'm sorry for whatever I have done to make it difficult between us. And this is where the kindness and the gentleness comes in. Because as we mentioned before, you know, you will make mistakes. And, you know, this is where humility comes in. This is, you know what, I didn't mean to hurt you. I'm sorry. You know, let me try that again. And, you know, some humility for our humanness. And, you know, in your partner agreements, you know, you at different times you're going to be more awake and compassionate and present than others, and other times you're going to be out of balance and emotional and blaming. And as soon as you become aware of that, whether it's in the moment or the next day, I mean, immediately clean it up. So keep the energy between you and others as clear as possible. And this is so powerful, instead of just shoving it under the carpet, pretending that it didn't happen. Sometimes just an I'm sorry and I didn't mean to, and, you know, this is my intention to do better. Sometimes just that ownership can really clear the energy between two people. Like I say, this doesn't mean that they're going to apologize for anything that they did, so be careful about saying this with the expectation that they're going to follow suit. They may or they may not, but this is on your end, taking accountability for your choices. So here's an exercise that you can practice. Have I, you know, left flowers or footprints with this person? So, you know, after each situation, each person, whether you've engaged somebody, a family member around the table for breakfast, when you leave the room, have you left the space better than you found it? Have you left flowers or footprints? And, you know, whether that is at the office with the receptionist, whether that is with the bill collector on the phone, whether that is with somebody that just cut you off on the freeway, whether that is somebody that you just had a disagreement with, have you been able to leave the energy between you and that other person better than when you came into it? And if you haven't, if you've said or done something nasty, clean it up immediately so that you can walk away from that situation knowing that you have left more flowers than footprints. And if you keep adding, you know, you keep adding flowers to the interactions between you and others, whether it's a stranger, a coworker, or a family member, the energy in the space is going to start to feel better. So keep asking every day with every interaction, because everybody deserves flowers. It's one of the most powerful gifts that you can give somebody, is the kindness of your words, the patience of your tone of voice, the allowing them to be human and where they are, clear agreements that kind of keeps things above board about no assumptions, and everybody deserves flowers and inspiration and patience, you know, especially if they're being grumpy or hard to deal with. That's probably the person that needs it most. And so taking accountability for your actions and really choosing to leave the space better than you found it is tool number six. Okay, on to our final, number seven. This is the sweetest one. One of my favorites is expressing appreciation and reflecting the beauty in others. And so in your relationships, if you're feeling stagnancy and complacency and disconnected and unappreciated and, you know, kind of taking things for granted, this tool is really going to help you expand the beauty in yourself and others by really bringing appreciation and respect and reflection into the space. It will help you to feel more connected. It will help other people feel more appreciated. It's always nice to say thank you and not take things for granted. So this kind of moves this density out of the way. It's so easy to focus on what isn't right in someone. And so this helps bring a brightness and a lightness and a beauty into the space. That you're adding value in essence to the bank account between in your relationship. You're really adding great value. You're making deposits in the energy between you and another person. And when you take things for granted, they start to stagnate. They start to feel unappreciated and withered. And so sometimes just expressing gratitude, you're just giving back so that you're just nourishing the flower between you and another. And you really can't make too many deposits, really, as long as it's real authentic expressions and you're not trying to make that with the expectation that it'll be reciprocated, you know, without strings attached. And so here's how. Two main pieces here. One, just be grateful. Express your gratitude. Give thanks to each person in your life, even if it's the person in your office that is the most challenging you, or in your career, the client that is just high maintenance. You know, every person is in your life for a reason, and there's something incredible about each person. And, you know, whether they're hardworking, or whether they're creative, or whether they're successful, or whether they have a particular skill, you know, give thanks and be as specific as possible. I appreciate that you. Thank you for. When you do this, this helps me this. Thank you. And it's the little things. Thank you for taking out the trash. Thank you for doing your dishes. Thank you for paying the bill. I appreciate when you are on time. Oh, I love it. And be specific as possible instead of just, oh, hey, thanks, Mom, or, you know, thanks for my paycheck or whatever. Really be specific. I'm a better person because you took the time to show me these things. So give thanks to the people in your life that are giving to you. And, you know, whether they're giving you business advice, affection, financial support, or friendship, appreciate them. And the second part of this is to see and reflect their beauty. Each person has unique gifts, unique talents, something that they just do so naturally and effortlessly, their uniqueness, their strengths. And in any relationship that you're in, whether it's a sibling or a coworker or a child, a parent, partner, or a friend, you are in a unique position to see their beauty in a way no one else does. So take the time to express that part of them that you see that is really exceptional, that they may not even know is there, or they may take for granted, or they may just not even realize it. You can reflect to them the way they stand out in a way no one else can. And help them to see the effect of their gifts, their strength, their talents. And it's such a nice thing to reflect someone's beauty back to them. Again, not in a general way. Oh, you're a beautiful woman. You're a talented man. It's like, wow. the way you play the guitar brings such an incredible beauty to my heart. The way you are patient with your child is so nurturing, and it's such an inspiration. Your creativity, your beauty, your grace, your patience, your ability to manage, your charisma. It only takes a few minutes. It's free, but it is nutrition for the soul, and it is a lovely, lovely gift. And, you know, it's just so beautiful to reflect somebody else's beauty. And so do this often and make a habit of it. And this will definitely improve your relationship. So the exercise here, our final exercise, is I want you to pick two different people. One, a relationship that is really beautiful, that you really care about, that you really want to have a lasting relationship, and it's a beautiful relationship. And then I also want you to pick a relationship that is more strained, a place where there's some tension or a lot of tension between you and another person. I want you to do those two things, is to express gratitude to each of these people with things that you are grateful for. Because each of them has done something, even if they've taught you a lesson, if they've shown you how to be stronger, if they've brought something beautiful to your life. Find a way to express gratitude and be specific. And then also, you know, finding the positive in them, reflect their beauty. Reflect back to them something that you see that is really exceptional and extraordinary about them. And those different things, saying thank you and reflecting beauty, really are two different types of flowers that you can be giving another one. And just in this exercise, see what that does, what energy that leaves in the space between you and that person that you really care about, that you're wanting to develop, you know, a deeper, longer-term relationship with and maintain the beauty and the strength of that relationship. And also see what happens in the energy between you and that person that has the strained relationship. They may be expecting daggers from you, and here you come with flowers. You know, so they may be startled, they may be confused, they may put a wall up, they may say thank you, they may say screw you. Don't have any expectations, but just keep loving into that space and start to watch what happens. Doesn't mean they're going to change a thing, but how you view them and how you orient them will start to change over time. And this practice you can do with anyone, with a stranger, with a cashier at the market. Hey, thanks for ringing me up so quick. Thanks for bringing your smile into this space. And, you know, it's so easy to say thank you. It's so easy to appreciate somebody's talents as a teacher, as a healer, as an accountant, as a cashier. This is something that we can really do over and over again. So those are our seven tips, and if you really need to go deeper, if you're having a challenge in any of these areas, if you're tripping up on any of these tips, or really have a tough relationship that is really testing you, please give me a call and we'll set up a consultation and we'll walk through the deeper issues and how we can shift things here. And just know that I'm here. This is my area of expertise. I'm happy to help give you just a few tips that might help your relationships in really sweet and simple ways, whether it's with a partner, a child, or a boss, or a friend, or a parent. You know, just know that you have support here and you're not alone. We're all dealing with relationships, and different ones challenge us at different times. So learning some new tools and new practices along the way is going to help improve your relationships and also your joy in life. And you can go to the contact section of my website at shamangelichealing.com or shamangelicretreats.com, and we can do a very simple private session over the phone. Or if you feel called to join me in Sedona for a private in-person session, come and visit me here, and we can create a tailored series or individual session or sessions to kind of help support you personally in your healing and awakening, which will certainly benefit your relationships. And for those that have enjoyed this content, and give me a call and refer to this, then you will receive an extra 15 minutes of free consultations with the first hour that you purchase. So that's my extra gift to you. And I look forward to meeting you in person or over the phone to continue this journey with you. You can do this. You can learn how to love. It's worth it. And it's what you came here to do. And so thrilled to have shared this time with you, and bringing flowers wherever you go makes this world a more beautiful place. So I send my flowers in the form of inspiration that you can do it. It's worth it, and you're a beautiful gift to this universe. So many blessings to you and your loved ones, family, and friends that you are in relationship with. Look forward to connecting. Namaste.